Does JoJo feel like helping us with the building fund offering this morning? All right. Have you got an instrumental, or are we just going to do the a cappella? Okay, we can do it a cappella. You can come up. I believe you're going to need to take all the offerings this morning. We'll be primitive this morning. I like your primitives. Yeah, it'd be just fine. He's going to pass two plates, one's for the building fund offering. And y'all can make it jingle. And then the regular offering being the other. Ask a blessing.
Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. I pray that you'll just bless the church. I pray that you'll bless Brother Levis. He brings the message in a few moments. I pray that you'll bless the offering, the giver, and the one that may have nothing. We love you. Thank you for all that you do. In Christ's name. Amen.
He's going to really let it jingle. We probably need to start thinking about what we're going to continue if we continue to take this offering up. You know, the vinyl, it looks good out there. We're enjoying it now. Didn't got to paint it. Won't have to ever paint it again. But we're close to having enough to kind of pay for that now. I would put, yeah. Mm-hmm. They would applaud for the little ones, but I don't believe I need to introduce Brother Blevins. I better not put him on the spot and see if he'll sing a solo, though. He'll just preach for us. Come on up, Brother Blevins. No hurry, no time limit. I mean, we got maybe Wednesday night at 7. You may want to kind of finish up, but that's all right.
Well, I learned a long time ago, do what you do and do it quickly and get out of the way. But anyways, it's good to be here. Good to see some more that come in. And we'd like to invite you to Sunday school next Sunday. I told everybody to bring one person, so I'm going to ask all those that just come in to come, and I'll have five or six of them. But anyways, we want to thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy, but do consider bringing somebody to church with you. That's one of the best ways to soul win and witness for the Lord that there is, and there's not none of us that don't have family that we can't bring. So I'm going to try to work on some of my family and get them, in church. And I've been trying to get them. Well, I got them, get them started, and then seem like it don't take them long to get drug out. Amen. But God is good. Let's thank the Lord for what he's doing and what he's going to do. And I hope that this morning you are saved if you're here. If not, this will be the best day I know to get saved. And just give your heart to God. And only you know whether you're saved or not. We know by people's fruit and the way they live, maybe they're saved. But the only person I know definitely saved is me, because I was there when it happened. I can tell you the time, take you the place. And I'll tell you that it was changing my life. And so we're living in critical hours that God could just send Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ step out on the cloud and just say, come up hither. I believe it's about time. And so let's do pray and tell somebody about Jesus, and you'll have a good day. We know that we talk about a lot. Do you ever think about when you see people, even your family, and what you talk about? We can find conversation, talk about everything in the country. except Jesus Christ. And that's ought to be our conversation. I mean, I'm not saying go and, you know, just ride people, but they'll see Jesus Christ through the life that you live and the way that you talk and the way that you live for Him. And so I know that working part-time at the funeral home, that I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of people about the Lord. And it's a good opportunity and good time. I've saw several preachers that came and did what was required of them. They preached the gospel and then gave an altar call. And one young boy that died, there was over 100 young people got saved at that funeral. And, you know, and then that young boy that we had the other day, the one that got killed out here on 729, you know, and got to witness to a lot of young people. It's sad. And I was thinking about it. It's sad that all of those young people, and it seemed like nobody's trying to reach them. Nobody's trying to get them in church. And so you younger people have a great opportunity to do more than anybody else. If you have a friend that is lost and not coming to church, you ought to try your best to get them to come. And so God is still saving, still on the throne. And I know some time back I'd prayed hard and talked to my grandchildren. I always witnessed to them. And some time back I had the privilege of leading some of them to the Lord. And then one of my grandsons, who really the world was destroying him, and he came to my house and gave his heart to the Lord. And I'm hoping that he'll, you know, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I'm going to try to get him to come with me some. And he may not look like he's saved. You know, that's the trouble with a lot of church members. And, you know, they try to clean up the outside before they get the inside clean. And but my grandson may look pretty worldly sometime. But if he'll come to church, praise God, Lord will take care of all that. And so don't, young people, don't worry about, you know, what people think about you. It's what the Lord thinks about you that matters. And so let's do. Have your Bible. Turn with me over in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 8. We're living in a trying time and hear a lot about Christ. But what is Christ to the believer? Just what is He? They sing, you know, a lot of songs about Him, and people talk about Him, but just what is He to the believer? Well, He's our everything. There's just no way to describe what He is. But in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 8, the Bible said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And so upon that thought, I want to just give you a few things this morning on what Christ is to the believer. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you and stand in the hedge, we pray thy divine touch. Lord, we ask you to touch our lips of clay, call to remembrance, to remind the things that's needed. Lord, speak to our hearts through your word. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, we'll praise you. Should there be one here that's lost and don't know you in the free pardon of sin, may this be the day that they make the greatest choice they'll ever make in their life. And Lord, should there be a Christian that's discouraged and maybe, Lord, has carrying a cross that only you know about, we ask thy divine touch and strengthen them and help them. We know that you will. We ask it all in Jesus' name for our sake. Amen and amen. The writer here said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Now, Christ never changes. He's the same to the first person that got saved as he is to the last person. He never changes. And so we're living in a time that we need to study the Word of God to find out just exactly what Christ means to us. He means everything to me. If I wanted to just testify, I could tell you how good He's been to me, how much He loves me. I'm glad He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm up. Why, God is just love. And so Jesus loved us enough that he willingly came and died on the cross for you and I. And so when you search out the scriptures, we were talking about the law. And of course, under the law, there was the Passover, in which then there was a lamb that died. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 and 8 that Christ is our Passover. So he's our Passover. For every Christian, our Passover is a sacrifice for us. Now, even back in the time that the under the law, when they were, you read it real closely, why they had to kill a whole lot of lambs just to satisfy the demand. There were thousands. But anytime you find God speaking about lamb, he only speaks about one. He talks about the lamb. And so over there in the old Passover, said a lamb for the house and a lamb for the nation. And so what he was saying is one day there's a lamb coming that's going to lay down his life for you and I. He's going to be our Passover. He's going to die on the cross of Calvary. Ain't you glad that he paid your sin debt? He that knew no sin became sin, that you might be set free from sin. And so he's our Passover, our sacrificial lamb. He paid our sin debt. You don't have to pay for your sins anymore. Now, after you're saved, why, you'll pay for your stewardship. But as far as our sins, they were taken care of on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because our lamb that died for us. And so Jesus Christ, the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. If you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, he died for you. And he will save you. And then, of course, that he's not only our Passover, but as we mentioned, he's our Savior. And so the Bible said over in Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's my Savior. But if he's going to be my Savior, he got to also be my Lord. I'm glad he's Lord of my life. And the only way to really enjoy him is just to surrender to him. Let him lead you in the paths of righteousness. And let him take care of all the things that is in your life. Looking for that blessed hope. And so some time back, my grandchildren, one of my little granddaughters called me and she was crying. And she said, "Papa," she said, "I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved." And I didn't run out there. I didn't wait till the next day. I took the word of God and led her to the Lord right over the phone. And this is important. When God is dealing with people, that's the time to lead them to the Lord. Had a lady call me one time. She said, "My son come in and he was under conviction and said I told him to wait till Sunday and it'd all be taken care of." I said, "No, wait a minute. Let me come right now." And it's important. I don't think you can get saved unless the Lord is dealing with you. And you must be convicted and then you must be converted and then, praise God, he'll keep you. He'll come and get you again. And so our Savior, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. He paid my sin debt. He was God in the flesh. The Bible talks about the he that knew no sin became sin. Jesus did. I had heard a man on radio one time say that Christ could have sinned if he wanted to. No, he couldn't have, because he was God. You see, God can't sin. And so he that knew no sin became sin. In other words, when he died on the cross, he took upon himself the form of man, the old sinful nature, the outward man, and he went to the cross and was nailed to the cross as the representing the sin of the world. He died for the world. The Bible said that God so loved the world. He didn't just die for a few. He died for the whole world. Now the whole world won't accept him, but the price has been paid. He wants to be their Savior. And so he's our Savior. And then not only that, he's our righteousness. You know, a lot of times we try to improve ourselves. And we're trying to live right. You know, when I used to witness to my uncle, and he said, well, I try to live right. Well, that ain't good enough. You see, the more I tried, the worse I got. I don't know about you. But you know what? When we turn it over to God, and then it and get it under the blood. The Bible said in Jeremiah 23, it said, and this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And so he's our righteousness. I'm nothing without him. It's all because of what he did, not what I did. And so it's a free gift, and he becomes our righteousness, and he cleanses from all sin. We're not righteous because we live right, or because that I'm not righteous because I'm a preacher. I'm righteous because I'm in Jesus Christ, the one that died for me. And so he becomes our righteousness. And so it's all because of him. You'll find about that righteousness even in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 and Romans 3 and 21 and 26. And it'll tell you about the righteousness of Christ, which is our righteousness. There's none. You know, one fellow said, well, I'm not too bad a sinner. Well, there ain't but one thing. It's sin, sin. And so what will send you to hell? Sin. And the Bible said, he that believeth not is condemned already. And so you have to believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior, and his righteousness will cover your sin. And then, not only that, he's our peace. You know, the world is searching for peace today. I never saw so many people that are tormented and finding peace. You know, if it isn't because they don't have a job, it's because, you know, their family's forsaking them, or they their body. Now, I can tell you how it is with an old body failing. You know, I had one knee done last November and got to get the other done this November. And I'll tell you what, it gets pretty hard. I don't know whether you noticed me walking or not, but when I had my left knee done, my right one became an inch shorter than the left one. And so and it's put pressure on my hip and back. And I tell you, old body falls apart. You fix one thing, something else falls apart. But you know what? I've still got peace that God is still in Christ. Why? He's going to give me a new body one day. I'm glad of that. He's going to take care of it all. But the Bible said in over in Ephesians and Colossians, it said, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now what he's talking about, that you won't have peace outside of being in contact with God. He's our high priest, sits on the right hand of God, making petition for you and I. He's our propitiation. He's our sacrifice. He paid our sin debt. And every time that God looks to see our sins, he sees the blood. I'm glad my sins are under the blood. And so he's our peace. When I got saved, I often say this, and I don't say it disrespectfully, to God, but if there's no heaven to go to and no hell to shun, I'd still want to be an old time Christian just for that peace that's in my heart. When I got saved, I found something I'd been looking for all my life. I was miserable. Sin was destroying me. I was having nightmares from Vietnam. I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up. I was afraid it was going to hurt my family. I'd wake up, you know, choking my wife. And I was a wreck. But you know what? The night I got saved, I've never had a nightmare since. And I've had a peace that passes all understanding. It's hard to describe, but only a Christian can know what that peace is. And so he gives us peace about everything. I mean, sure, this world is reeling and rocking, and there's a lot of trouble on every hand, but I'm glad I know Jesus. I don't know how people make it without him, because he gives you that peace that'll get you through to the next day. And so that peace. And then not only that, he's our life. I had my life pretty well planned out and all of that. and seemed like everything fell apart. Have you been there and done that? You know, you get to figure, now I'm going to do this tomorrow, but then tomorrow something else blows up. And so, but I'm glad that he's our life. Without Jesus, there'd be no life. The Bible said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What is your life? If you're a Christian, it's you're going to go home with him. You're going to a better place. He's coming back for you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And so I'm glad. I'm looking forward to that place. I want to see what it's like. But I'm glad that's my life. My life's not of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And so I'm glad that I have a better life than what, you know, this world offers. Now, since I got saved, God's been good to me. I've got a lot more than I ever had. I mean, when I was just a boy and started out, we had nothing. And I used to think about some of the time that we'd go out and hoe corn, come in, and the only thing we had for supper was cornbread and some green beans. You'd cut it up and put it in your milk and eat it. You know, a lot of people think you're crazy, but that's survival. You know, and God's been good to me. You can look at me and see I ain't never missed a meal. But not only that, he's got something better for me. My life's not going to be of the material things of this world. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He created everything. I'm heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means I've got a better life than I ever had. And so when we think about the lives that people live, you know, I'm glad I got a better life. And then, not only that, he's our hope. There was one lady told me one time, said, you don't say hope. I said, but the Bible's full of it. And she said, you don't say I hope so. You don't say hope. I said, I'll tell you what, my hope is anchored in a far better place than this. And the Bible teaches that our hope is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. I'm glad my hope's anchored in Jesus and not in this world. And so I'm glad that my hope's not in what the politicians can do. Everybody said, oh, it's going to get better. No, the Bible said it's going to get worse. But everything's all right at home. That's where my hope is. And so we need to have that hope. The Bible said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That's what anchors your soul or your desire. Your hope is that. And then, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, or even Jesus. Now, which hope we have as an anchor. You know, anchor is something that is put out to steady a ship or keep it from being, you know, tossed to and fro or drifting away from where you want it. I'm glad if your anchor's in Jesus Christ, it's solid and it's steadfast, unmovable, and I'm glad it's full of glory. And so our hope is not in this world, but it's of the world to come. You know, somebody said, I used to tease them, I said, well, I'm going to Ringo Depot Road, Sutherland, Virginia. Everybody, when they write my address down, a lot of times they'll go ahead and put Ringo, but it's not. There's about several houses when you first turn up 726 that's got a Sutherland address. Now, I mean, that's them brainstorms that sit around and figured all that out, you know. And so a lot of times people will miss address my mail, and it'll go to Ringo's to the Sutherland, and it returns to them. They say, well, it come back, no address. I said, that's not my address. My address is Ringo Depot Road, Sutherland, Virginia. And what's more confusing, you go up 726, and there's three different post offices services 726 between 58 and 29. And the name changes. It starts out Ringo Depot Road, Ringo Church Road, And then up there at the end, I forget the name of it up there. But anyways, you know, that don't change the direction. God knows exactly where I am. But you know where my hope is? My hope is anchored in a far better place than this confusing world. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. And so he's our hope. And it don't change. The Bible, our text said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Now, they may even redo it and change my address back to Ringo. You can't never tell. But the thing of it is, my address of my hope will never change. I'm glad it's anchored on the other side. And so let's trust him for our hope, which hope we have as an anchor. And then last but not least, he's our Lord. The Bible says grace, mercy, and peace for God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, 2 Timothy. And then we find, and Thomas answered and said unto him, when he saw his hands and his side, he said, my Lord and my God. You see, if he's going to be our Savior, he's going to be our Lord. He can't be your Savior without being your Lord. And so I'm glad that he's everything. He never changes. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my righteousness. He's my peace. He's my life. He's my hope. Oh, what a Savior I have. You know, and we need to let the world know there's something better. I know when my wife got saved first, and when I used to get under conviction, the old devil would tell me, if you get saved, you'll never have no fun. You know, you just have to get in a corner and dry up. Man, I've had a ball since I got saved. I don't know about anybody else, but I enjoy it more every day. And it gets better. But why? Because my hope is in my Savior and my Lord, Jesus Christ. How we need to let people know that, and of course James ended chapter number 1 and verse 27, this said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. That's important to really have a true meaning of Jesus Christ. You have to keep yourself pure before God. And the only way you can do it is by surrendering all to Jesus Christ. Now, I noticed the other day they voted to make one of the popes that died, make him a saint. And I told somebody at work, I said, well, I'm already a saint. And they didn't vote a tie. You said, and one boy said, oh, what do you mean? I said, the Bible said we're saints, we're priests. I said, well, I'm enjoying our with the high priest of heaven. And I said, look, I'm a saint already through Jesus Christ, not of my own. And so where was the miracle? The miracle was the day I got saved. I mean, the greatest miracle ever performed is when a hellbound sinner comes, gives her heart to Jesus, calls upon his name, and right before us is transformed from a hellbound sinner to a heavenbound saint. Hey, I'm not what all I should have been, but I'm not what I'm going to be yet, you see, because I'm saved from sin, and it won't be long till I'll be saved from the presence of sin. I remember, when Brother Poovey was sick, I was the last person to preach for him, some of you might remember. But he didn't want to give in to the old flesh. He thought he ought to fight the battle from now on. Well, God gave him his reward, and he's in a far better place than you and I. And that hope that he preached, that hope that he believed, became reality one day. And I'm glad that, you see, the body was failing and he had problems. But the spirit got strong. And you see, you just can't outbeat Jesus, same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet him? Have you anchored your anchor in the hope that Jesus Christ is soon coming to take you home? If not, boy, this would be a good day to make that anchor. I'm glad he saved me. Gonna ask him to come. You got a song picked out for invitation. And I don't know your heart this morning, and I don't get real long once in a while. I do what God lays on my heart and do it. And so you'll get to go to the steakhouse quicker today. But the thing of it is, the main thing is, it's not are you hungry, it's are you saved. You see, that's the main point. And so I ask you to come today. If you're not saved, give your heart to Jesus. Let us stand, if you will.
Page 394.
A couple of verses of invitation. Somebody with you. I want you to shake hands.